What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenblum, along with the co-founders of Clean Logic, Isaac Shapiro and Mike Gesser. What's going on, fellas?
Hey, Evan.
I'm a little heated today, guys. I'm a little heated, and I kind of want to just get right into it. So I just want to say I've been named inclusion director at my kid's school, which is an awesome responsibility. I'm really excited about it. But I'm not going to lie, when I was introduced, I kind of talked about something that, has been frustrating me a little lately. And that is when you try to advocate for the disability community, people who are disabled, and you get pushback. We're going to talk about that in today's episode of Driven by Purpose.
This is Driven by Purpose, a show about finding your purpose, building fulfilling careers, and helping people with disabilities live better lives. Hosted by three men who've lived it and are here to help you do the same. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Clean Logic, a leading bath and skincare company and a true pioneer in creating inclusive workplaces and increasing employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
The truth of the matter is that when I do have to, when I do see somebody taking advantage of a resource that is intended for a person with a disability, I feel like I have to take it upon myself to actually do something about it because most other people don't. For example, when somebody parks in a handicap spot and you see everybody that doesn't belong in the handicap spot, you see most people put their head down and keep walking. Well, I can't do that. I don't know. It's something about me where I see somebody taking advantage of something they're not supposed to be taking advantage of, and I'll confront the person. And at first I'm nice. Hey, you're not supposed to be parking here. That's actually intended for somebody with a disability. And if the answer I expect from somebody is, oh, you know what? I'm sorry. My mistake. No problem. It won't happen again. And then they leave. Because that's a normal thing, somebody would respect. Right. What happened to me recently is somebody was parking in a handicapped spot at the school where my kids go, which is an inclusive school, which has a higher population of kids with disabilities there. So more of a need for handicapped spots for all of the handicapped people who go to that school, right? So somebody pulled into a spot that didn't belong in that spot. And I went and I said, hey, roll down your window. She rolled down her window. And I said, hey, this is it's a disabled parking spot for a person with disability. You don't have that. Can you please move your car? And she looked at me and she goes, oh, do you need the spot right now? And I'm like, woosah, take a deep breath. I'm like, I did. I took a deep breath and I was like, look, I don't have the energy to like argue with you right now. I can't believe that's your reaction. So I just said, I'm going to give you two choices. You can either leave, or if you look in front of you on the blue sign, it says there's a $250 fine. I'm just going to call the police and you can explain to them why you felt you needed to park in the spot. And I've been calling myself Karen Rosenblum ever since, because that's a very Karen thing to do. But you know what? I didn't know what other choice I had. Like, I could have dressed this person down and I could have yelled and gotten angry, but like, there's no reason to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to get in a fight with somebody. I just like I expect that when you present a reasonable and a correct argument to somebody, that you expect somebody to be like, all right, I get it. So that's why, I am now the inclusion chair at my kid's school. And in the first meeting, I explained to the group of people, I said, look, you're all here at this meeting because you care about the school. One of the issues that families like mine have is that we feel like we have to take on all of the fights that pertain to people with disabilities. And I'm like, what I would love is if you see somebody parking in a spot that's a disabled spot and they don't have a placard, maybe just don't put it on me to have to confront them every single time. Maybe if you say something like, hey, that's a spot that's for a person with disability, like that would be great. Because maybe also with you, if you don't have a person in your family with disability, maybe it's a little less of an emotional conversation for you than it is for me, because I take it personally and maybe you don't. So maybe that would be great. If you see somebody that like is posted up in front of a ramp, this has also happened where there's a ramp that provides access for my daughter who's in a wheelchair to access the school or a restaurant or something like that. And if somebody has put a trash can in front of it or something in front of it that blocks the ramp or parked in front of it, you can say something. Hey, I would love to not have to take on every single fight. I would love the help from the rest of the community to help me with this, to kind of take a little bit of the burden off my shoulders, because we are all committed to this idea of inclusion and accessibility in theory, right? So I guess what I'm trying to do is take that from in theory and say, let's do that in practice. But to make that happen in practice and effectively, it's going to take more than just the people affected by it to advocate for it.
Well, I think what you did was, in a very good way, you brought truly what accessibility means to them when in normal circumstances they wouldn't know, like ramps, disabled parking. Like, they truly make a huge difference in certain situations. And you wouldn't really know, like, most people wouldn't know until you're in that situation. I've experienced it several times where, like, there are no disabled parking spaces, and it's like trying to get equipment and my daughter and loaded literally in the size of a, like, a space where you have to, like, where normally you'd, like, scoot sideways out. It's not okay. It doesn't
work. Have you ever taken your daughter where there's a restaurant you have to go to, or a place you have to go, and there's no ramp and there's, like, four stairs, and everyone's looking at you like, it's just four stairs. And I'm like,
no, it's not.
All right. No, it's not. Because here's what's going to happen, right? I'm 6'2", 220 pounds, and I used to be very strong. I still work out all the time. I'm a very active person. I'm a strong person. But, like, my daughter and her chair is heavy. And what you end up having to do when there's no ramp and stairs is you can either fold up shop and go home, which we've done before sometimes, because it's just like, I'm on the mood. Or you turn her around so your back's facing the chairs, and you pull her up stair by stair by stair. And I'll tell you, it hurts. It's fun for my daughter because she looks at it's like a ride. But for me, the caregiver, like, it takes a physical toll on your body.
Yeah.
And so when, like, there isn't genuine, legitimate accessibility for people with wheelchairs and their caregivers, it's just like, even if, like, you figure out a way to navigate the situation like we do with the stairs, like, by the time you get up the stairs, you're like, that sucks. Now my shoulder hurts. And you're just like, this isn't fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Evan, how does that moment impact you emotionally as a parent of a child?
That's what I'm saying. Like, all these things add up, right? Like, individually, if you're just like a passerby and you see me like taking Sydney up the stairs, you're like, he's got this, it's fine. But it's like when you stack that on top of the five other things that happened before that, and the 10 other times that that's happened in the last 2 weeks,
and everything, every single day, all the things you have to deal with, you don't want that.
It's like we talked about before with, like, you know, you're like a meter, and it just keeps ticking up. And at a point, it's going to get to the red, you know, and it's like, you got to find ways to release it so you don't go crazy. But that's why I like to ask for support from the community to help me advocate for these things. So it just doesn't fall on me, even though it's probably not on me. It's probably more in my head that it feels like it's on me, because
it affects you.
It affects you.
And you can't not deal with it. You know what I mean? And listen, I hear you.
Well, but what I don't understand, it's 2025, right? It's still, we're trying to educate people. So why do you think there's such disregard for accessibility and accommodations, and there's laws in place? But, like,
that's a great question.
Yeah. It does. I think it doesn't affect everybody. People don't have to look for the ramp. People don't need the extra space getting out of a car. They don't, like, I think not just with this, but in so many different things around the world, like, if it doesn't affect you, it's not of your concern. You don't understand it, you know?
Well, Mike, we just spoke to Randy Lewis, who's been a huge advocate for hiring people with disabilities. And he talked about how he gave a big speech in Vegas a bunch of years ago, and there were 5,000 people in the room. And he asked everybody that had a family member or a friend or somebody they care about with a disability to stand up. And he said he was blown away because 1,000 people stood up. And that's amazing. But guess what? 4,000 people didn't stand up. So, you know, even though 1,000 people could relate to it and connect with it on one hand, 4,000 people in that room couldn't. Yeah. So
that's why,
you know, that's why.
Have to say, that's why it's such an important piece for us at the Inspiration Foundation to do Dining in the Dark, because my whole experience and why I'm so passionate about telling the story about my mom and, you know, growing up around just inspiring blind and visually impaired individuals that prove people that they can do things, you know, for me, it's just, we're seeing that at Inspiration, we're really, you know, trying to get people to understand and change this mindset. And I'm just, you know, really excited that we're able to be able to tell a story and through what we call dining in the dark, because that's where we do get people to experience, I don't want to say blind, but they at least don't have vision for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And that's been the most impactful, because that's when you have someone feel like, oh, I didn't know, like, those are the things that people experience. So I think, how do you get more people to experience things? You know,
right. Well, on that note, like, Isaac, honestly, that's why I'm grateful for the show, because it feels like it gives, you know, me and Mike and all these people that we have on, you, everybody that we, all the guests that we have on, it gives us a megaphone to kind of help share our stories and help other people that might not understand exactly what we're going through. Like, I feel like we do a good job of articulating what we're going through as parents and caregivers and people that are directly affected by disability, like the challenges that we face every single day. It's hard. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love my daughter more than anything in the world. Like, she's my best friend, and I love her. And there's no way that I would want my life without her. But that doesn't mean that, like, life on a day-to-day basis isn't really hard, and we deal with a million challenges. And I know everybody, life's all relative, right? But, like, I'm telling you, if you go apples to apples with somebody and you say, okay, what does your day look like from the minute you wake up to the minute you go to sleep? Like, I guarantee you, people like Mike and I and other people that have kids with severe disabilities, like, it's hard. I was just having dinner with a guy this week who told me, you know, he's got a daughter with severe disabilities, and he's like, you know, all these people keep telling me, oh, it's going to be okay. It's like, come back to me when your daughter has 100 seizures in a day and tell me how you deal with that. And I was like, yeah, that's right. Like, you can't, like, if you were to tell a 23-year-old kid who's thinking about having children that, like, their day to day is going to be caring for somebody who has 100 seizures a day, that person might reconsider whether or not they want to have kids, right? But when you have a kid and it's your responsibility and you are a parent that's dedicated to your child, like most parents are, there's no way out. That's your life now. You have to figure out how to deal with that. And it's really, really hard. And by the way, again, that person I was talking about wouldn't trade their life. They love their daughter and they love their life and they're happy. But, like, the point I'm trying to make is these things that happen every single day that we have to navigate, they are really, really, really tough. And when we get help from the community, from people who aren't affected by it every single day, it means a lot and it goes a long way.
Well, can I tell you, just with your co-host here, you guys have impacted me. I mean, Mike, I'm your business partner. I think we know a lot about each other, and I've learned so much about your personal life with Rosie and Evan. And honestly, like, it makes me, like, appreciate, you know, what I've got, and I think you guys have impacted me. And so, what do you want people that don't have children with disabilities? You're saying you want people to hear what it is and help people understand, because it's helped me understand working with you guys. It's helped me understand just a lot of different things that I've been opened my eyes to. That I would like to know what you guys want from people that don't have people with disabilities and learning from your story.
Good question.
Mike, you want to take it?
And can I just say this one key thing? Because you guys also have children that own disabilities. And it's one of those things that I'm like, you guys have really given me a lot of, like, appreciation of, like, what we have. And it's not that I think, like, what's the term I'm looking for? I'm not feeling sorry. I just have appreciation for what you guys have to go through.
Empathy.
And it's not that I'm like, oh, I don't have a daughter with disability. I can't believe it. It's just something that I feel you guys have given me, like, another empathetic piece that, and other disabilities. And I just want to know what you guys want from the audience that doesn't have people with disabilities.
I'll start. You know, the thing is, I'll tell you what I don't want. I don't want pity. Right. It's not, I don't talk about this so people could, like, you know, feel sorry for me or for my daughter, or make it sound like I've got these terrible, horrible struggles or things like that. That's not the case. Right. I just want to open people's eyes and people's minds and people's hearts. I think with respect to me, a little bit kindness. I don't need help moving my kid. I don't need help getting her up the stairs when that's what's needed. But I think it's about making people more aware. And if I could have them, if I could help them see, and I know this will never happen, but if I could help them see the world the way I see the world, I think the world will be a much better place. You know, with clean logic, like we, there's no reason why anybody with a disability can't work side by side with someone who doesn't have a disability. Kind of what Randy was saying, you know, like you, any, I want people to see this. I want them to copy it. I want them to take it to their law firm or their accounting firm or their grocery store or a gas station. Like if there's any business can do this. And I think it's about opening people's eyes. If I could open people's eyes, it's what I want.
Yeah. By the way, our producer, Fred, who's great, just texted. He said, what advice would you give to other parents and caregivers who are struggling with the anger? That's a great question, Fred. And the reason I want to bring it up is because I see a therapist once a week. And this has been a topic that I've been talking to my therapist about, because the way I describe it to my therapist is I feel like I've got a pilot light that's always on. And, you know, most of the time it's like this and it's fine and get through the day. But like when somebody does something that affects my kid, the flame grows and my anger grows. And so I'm trying to figure out ways that I can handle it so that I don't get so upset, because I'm an emotional person. I've always been that way. I wear my emotions on my sleeve. And then when you factor your kid into it and the idea of somebody, you know, mistreating your kid or taking away a resource from your kid, like it bothers me so much. And so I'm trying to figure out ways to deal with my anger when those things happen. So that I, like, for example, when that woman took the handicap spot and then kind of sassed me about it when I called her on it, like I feel like the old Evan would have lit her up. And what I'm trying to do is not let the fire burn out of control.
Yeah.
It's like take a breath and just talk and leave the situation. So like as far as like how I'm dealing with the resting anger, I think that mental health is a huge, an important thing for people in our community, parents and caregivers that deal with us on a day-to-day basis. And I'm working with my therapist on how to find ways to try to lower the temperature a little bit. But that's my big piece of advice is therapy.
I think that's an important one, because culturally, in a lot of cultures, therapists are looked down upon. My mom being from Mexico, you know, I've been seeing a therapist for 8 years. My father-in-law was a therapist, and that's what got me in, my wife got me into it. And I think it's been the best thing for me. So I think that's amazing advice, because again, and my mom's family, especially in our culture in Mexico, it's like therapy's looked down upon. And my mom's like, why are you going to see a therapist? What's wrong with you? And then, you know, a year later, I'm on my way to see my therapist. My mom's like, I thought you were fixed. You know, so I think it's an important thing that, you know, you are saying that, because just 5-10 years ago, people really looked down upon. I think more and more people are getting there. And I'm hearing it's not mental health, it's brain health now, because, yeah, you know, those things are working, but I think it ties into that. So I think that's great advice, because it sounds easy, but there's so many people that still today look down upon therapy.
I mean, but to get back to originally what you had asked and Mike answered, I just want to add on, because I think what you said was great, Mike, but just to add on to that, I think that one of the things that I wish people outside of our community would learn from our conversations is just that, you know, it's a hard life. And again, we don't want pity, but I think help is different than pity. And I think that, you know, support is the right word. Support and advocacy are the main things that I think that I'm looking for from people outside of our community.
Yeah. So I agree with that. I think, so advocacy, right? This is what we do. And I think, you know, within this community, it's the parents who are their children's greatest advocate. But what I'm also finding is the more that I bring, like my family have become huge advocates and supporters of my kid and her needs and our family needs. And even friends, when friends come and get to be part of my life and see what my life is and have an understanding. And that's, to me, it's like awareness, because awareness creates an understanding, and that kind of creates action. And it's a trickle effect, right? And I think that's, I see it, and it gives me like, it just, it makes me feel better. It keeps my pilot light under control, because I agree with you, it's still there. But, and I think for me, that's why I do what I do at Clean Logic with this podcast, with inspiration, is because I do think we have the ability to change the world. And I do think we have the ability to bring a lot of the things that we're talking about, ramps, mm-hmm. for example, you know what I'm saying? Like, there are all of these things that are just simple, accessible things that can be made simple without literally changing every single thing. But I'll tell you, it is incredibly frustrating, when you have people who are completely oblivious. And there's been one time that it's ever been so outrageous to me that I lost it. And interestingly enough, it happened to be with the person, of my daughter's school district that was in charge of all special needs. And I was blown away. I'm like, I can't believe this woman is in the position that she's in, for being like just so unaware and like, you know, zero concern. And it was actually kind of fun talking.
Mike, my wife and I were on a phone conversation with a person who worked for an equipment company that dealt with specialized equipment for people with disabilities. And on this call, the person used the R word.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Because she made a mistake and she's like, oh, that was, and then she used the R word. And my wife and I were like, oh my goodness. Yeah. We're going to explain to you why you're talking to, that's not okay. Like, come on. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes, and that's what I'm saying. Like, even people who are working in the community, it's like,
sometimes it's just a job.
Yeah.
And
you want to take a deep breath. But look, you know, I think to wrap this up and to leave this on a positive note, I do believe that more people than not want to help and are well-intentioned and are allies and advocates. I do believe that.
Yeah. I agree.
But I think for the small percentage of people that aren't, that, you know, that do things to make our lives harder, I would love to engage the community at large to help us to educate those people so that they don't do things that make our lives harder than they already are. And that's that.
Yeah, I would like to say, and this could be added after the show or not, but I think when we talk about awareness, we're talking about your lives, but I think, how do you get more people to be aware? And what's that impact if you think about people that are blind with guide dogs and how many people use a service animal piece to take it on? And in the blind community, it's frowned upon because it makes it harder for blind people to go to stores because everybody has a service dog piece. And so
we should talk about that.
So that's a great point. I talk about this because it's something in the blind community that's talked a lot about. And hey, I'll admit, like, you know, a couple of years ago when we moved our dog, I've never taken our dog on a service dog. And I was freaking out. I'm like, I need to get my dog. And mom, what do I do? Like, and she's like, well, maybe we can make her my guide dog. But the thing is, you know, that made me aware of, like, you know, just how many people are taking advantage of it. And it made me understand, like, wow, like, I can understand the blind community because these are the type of things that are making it difficult for them. And I've heard stories about the uncomfortableness or getting followed in a store because I have a dog. So just, you know, that impact that we talk about, it's in a lot of different disabilities.
We should do an episode on that.
Yeah.
I'm serious. People who take advantage of the resources that are supposed to help people with disabilities and how it hurts people with disabilities.
Yeah. Parking spots that don't really need it. Like, all sorts, those are all, there's a million ways.
Yeah.